Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. I think it would be accurate to say that pride is at the root of nearly every sin. In fact, I think I can eliminate the word nearly and say pride is at the root of every sin. It's one of those things that we are so comfortable with that sometimes, quite often, we are not aware of it and we fail to recognize its reality and what a problem it is. But it is at the root of our sinfulness, our prideful rebellion against God, our prideful unwillingness to surrender to His rightful rule in our lives, our prideful resistance to His commandments, our pride that just demonstrates itself in so many ways. And Paul is dealing with a problem of divisions in the church at Corinth, and he recognizes that the root of that, like all other sins, is pride. Now, there are a lot of other other ancillary issues that also can be addressed, and he does address a number of other things to try to help them understand what they don't understand, to respond in a way differently than what they have responded. But he also knows that he needs to attack them at the very heart of the problem, which is their pride. And that is exactly what he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and following. Now, before we get back into that section, I want to ask you, when was the last time you confessed your pride to the Lord? When was the last time you asked Him to humble you? When was the last time you acknowledged that pride is at the root of your problems and you need His help in order to stop acting out according to the pride of your heart and instead act in a Christ-like humility? When was the last time you've done that? So many times, we don't even think of pride as being a sin when it's actually the greatest sin. It's the root of all other sins. And may God help us to understand that. Well, before we get back into our text, let me welcome you to this Tuesday, July 13 edition of the Beacon Broadcast and express my deep gratitude to those whose financial gifts enable us to keep teaching on this station. All right, Paul is saying that the Corinthian church members needed an attitude adjustment. Their attitudes were wrong, causing divisions in the church and other problems as well. Their attitudes were wrong, and their attitudes were wrong because of pride. And so they needed an attitude adjustment, and if they're going to adjust their attitudes, they need to recognize their pride. And so he starts out in verse 6 giving them two examples for emulation, namely Paul and Apollos. I'm looking for it here in verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake. And though there are a number of things, and we're not going to go back over what we said about that verse before, because it's an interesting verse. It has a lot of little twists and turns to it that are very helpful if we'll take the time to dig them out as we did previously. But the one bottom line example that Paul and Apollos are in this situation is that they are unified in Christ. They are unified in doctrine. They are unified in the work of the Lord. So how come there are people who are forming factions around them and are at odds with one another because of them? I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and so forth. When Paul and Apollos are in perfect unity, something wrong here. And so they need an attitude adjustment, and they need to follow the example of the ones they say that they are upholding as leaders. I'm of Paul. Well, then act like it. I'm of Apollos. Then act like it. Paul and Apollos were best of friends, best of partners in the gospel, demonstrated no rivalry, no friction, no tension between them. So if you are Paul, act like Paul and stop demonstrating this tension toward other members of the body. If you are of Apollos, then start acting like Apollos and quit demonstrating this tension toward other members of the body. So two examples for emulation. And then, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, there are three questions for contemplation in verse 7. Remember those? For who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? That'll deal with your pride. I won't go back over that either, but that's a good text to meditate on regularly. But now we move on to what I've called, thirdly, sarcasm for realization, verse 8. And that may be a bit of a surprise to some people, but here it is. You are already full. In my Bible, there's an exclamation point after that statement. You are already rich. Next statement with an exclamation point. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Now, what in the world is going on here? Well, these statements are actually sarcastic. And they are designed to adjust their attitudes in a realistic direction. It's a sanctified use of sarcasm. And the occasion requires that. It's sometimes needed. Paul's motive for using it is nothing but honorable and godly. We need to be careful with sarcasm. Many times our sarcasm is far from godly. It's far from helpful. It's far from kind. It's far from loving. But sometimes it's needed to get people to see what otherwise they will not see. And that's how Paul uses it here. Sarcasm for realization, to get them to realize what they're doing that is so wrong. And so, first of all, he deals with the Corinthian attitude. We're still talking about the need for attitude adjustments here. And so he says, first of all, you are already full. You are already rich. You are already reigning without us. What does he mean by that? Well, let's go back through that again. You are already full. You think you are. You actually have a good measure of the good things in life. You're full in that respect. God has blessed you with many things that are beyond the bare necessities of life. But you think you're full of knowledge. You think you're full of wisdom. You are already full. You are already rich, rich in possessions, rich in spiritual gifts. They really were. Paul mentioned that earlier in the epistle, that they came behind in no gift. They were rich in spiritual gifts, and yet they were as immature and carnal as they could be. There's a lesson there. I don't want to get too sidetracked from the verse in front of me, but there's a lesson there. Some people act as if possession of spiritual gifts and exercise of spiritual gifts is the highest indication of well-developed spirituality. That's what marks one out as being especially spiritual. But the Corinthians were possessors of many spiritual gifts. They had them in rich abundance, more apparently than some other churches, and yet were more carnal and immature than nearly any other church. And if I can be so bold, I have learned in my own observation that many times those Christians today who make much of spiritual gifts and think that their spiritual gifts are an indication of their superior are an indication of their superior spirituality. Oftentimes, I would say most of the time in my experience, are actually very carnal, very immature, need an attitude adjustment, are thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And that's exactly how Paul is using this sarcasm here. He's trying to show them that. Oh, yeah, you are full. You've got it all. Oh, yeah, you are rich. You possess everything. You've come to full development in your Christian life. Ha, ha. Not. Yes, you are already reigning. You are acting as if you have arrived at Christ's eternal reign, that you're already in the kingdom without us. In other words, without Paul and Apollos and without the missionary team who have not arrived yet at the kingdom. But you act like you have. So Paul is being sarcastic. Verse 8, you are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. They acted like their knowledge of truth and of things spiritual was more complete than that of Paul's, that they knew more than he did. They acted like their accomplishments were greater than Paul's, that their Christian service was more fruitful than his. Come on now. Really now? Yeah, that's the way they were acting. They acted like they had arrived at the highest level of spirituality and were therefore superior to others, and it just wasn't true. They were blind. They didn't realize their true condition. They failed to recognize that in truth they were at a lower state of development than members of most other churches, really. Just read all the epistles and compare them and see what is said, and you'll realize that the Corinthian church was pretty low on the totem pole when it comes to maturity and to godliness and to spirituality. They were brothers in Christ. Paul loved them dearly. He didn't suggest that they were acting like they were because they weren't true Christians, but he was certainly pointing out that their opinion of their spirituality, their level of development, was far, far higher than what is the truth, what is reality. And so this is sarcasm for true realization, so that they might realize what the situation really is. Because the truth of the matter is, they have not yet arrived. If they had, the apostles would be reigning with them, but in reality, they have a long way to go before they will achieve spiritual maturity. And usually, those who think they have arrived have the farthest to go before they actually will arrive. Verse 8, you are already full, you are already rich, you have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish that you did reign, that we also might reign with you, but we're not reigning with you, and evidently, therefore, you're not reigning. If Paul and Apollos are not in the kingdom yet, the full realization, the full culmination of the kingdom, then neither are the Corinthians. So stop acting like it. Sarcasm for realization. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.